is Rediscover Live with Pastor John from All Nations Church with your daily message to help you reconnect with your Creator and rediscover life as it can be with Jesus. I'm so glad you're able to join us today as we continue our series on I Have Decided. And, you know, we were looking yesterday at the rich man and Lazarus, and what a tremendously sobering thing it was to consider that he found clarity, but only in eternity, and it was far too late. And we were just looking at the reality, the awful reality, that there is no escape from hell. There is such a thing as too late. Psalm 49 and verse 5 says, "Why should I fear in the days of evil when the iniquity at my hand, my heels surrounds me? Those who trust in their wealth and boast in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their souls is costly, and it shall cease forever that he should continue to live eternally and not see the pit." And so, mortal man, you know, mortal means death doomed. Mortal men die. And without Christ, there is no hope. Irrespective of your wealth, your education, your fame, your influence, your accomplishments, it means nothing. Because the Bible says the redemption of their souls is costly. Our salvation costs the blood of God's Son. That's why Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by me." Verse 12, "Nevertheless, man, though in honor, does not remain. He is like the beasts that perish." And again, verse 20, "A man who is in honor yet does not understand is like the beasts that perish." So it doesn't matter how much you have. If you don't understand, if you don't have an understanding of the meaning of life, if you don't realize that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, ultimately everything you do is futile. Mark chapter 9 and verse 43. "If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter into life maimed rather than to having two hands, to go to hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter into life lame rather than having two feet, to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It's better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye, rather than having two eyes, to be cast into hell fire, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched." Jesus here repeats the same phrase three times, "where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched." And so we have this understanding direct from Jesus Christ that hell is a place of torment. We just read that yesterday in Luke 16. It's a place of literal flame. Literal torment, literal sorrow and separation from God and all that is good. And Jesus here says it's a place of where the worm does not die, and that means, you know, symbolic of the torment that you suffer in hell, whatever form that takes, and the fire is not quenched. So again, there's this sense of eternal judgment, eternal suffering, eternal torment. What a horrible thing to contemplate. I appreciate to some at times I may seem very serious when I preach. But like Paul, I've come to the place of realizing the weight of what we as ministers are entrusted with and called to do. 2 Corinthians 2, 15 and 16, "For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things?" The New Living, "Our lives are a Christ-like fragrance rising up to God, but this fragrance is perceived differently by those who are being saved and by those who are perishing. To those who are perishing, we are a dreadful smell of death and doom. But to those who are being saved, we are a life-giving perfume. And who is adequate for such a task as this?" We're dealing with God's eternal purposes and men's eternal souls. So forgive me, but I'm not here to play games. There is a tremendous sobriety to what we are called to do as ministers. And, you know, just as Aaron stood between the living and the dead, as a pastor, I certainly do my best to point people to the one who can save and transform while there is yet time, because as we have seen, there is such a thing as too late. Who is sufficient for these things? I realize it's such a serious thing to stand before mortal beings and speak of eternal things. There's a weight to this message, because there are eternal consequences to what you do with it. And so, if a man can give mindless little motivational chats week after week, best of luck, I will leave it to them and God. But as for me, I stand before you today in the fear of God, believing that he has given me great clarity on some things that are of the utmost importance, and I'm therefore obligated to share this truth with the passion, reverence, and sobriety it deserves. Luke 12 and verse 48. But he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required, and to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. The New Living. But someone who does not know and then does something wrong will be punished only lightly. When someone has been given much, much will be required in return. And when somebody has been entrusted with much, even more will be required. And the Message. The servant who knows what his master wants and ignores it, or insolently does what he pleases, will be thoroughly trashed. But if he does a poor job through ignorance, he'll get off with a slap on the hand. Great gifts mean great responsibilities. Greater gifts, greater responsibilities. Well, as I hold my precious Bible in my hand right now, I'm mindful of the fact that we've been given a great gift. The Bible is God's word to mankind, God speaking to us. Eternal truth you can build your life on. We must be faithful in discharging our sacred duties to both God and men, and this requires humility. And this is my second point. The first one was clarity. The second one is humility, and I'd like us to read Daniel chapter 4, which I think perfectly illustrates this principle. Daniel warns the king earlier in the chapter, and verse 28, at that time, all this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar at the end of the 12 months he was walking about the royal palaces of Babylon. The king spoke, saying, "Is this not the great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty?" While the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven, "King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you, and they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and seven times shall pass over you, until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and gives it to whomever he chooses." That very hour the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men and ate grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like birds' claws. And at the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth no one can restrain his hand. Or who can say to him, "What have you done?" At the same time my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom my honor and splendor returned to me. My counselors and nobles resorted to me. I was restored to my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all of whose works are truth and his ways justice. And those who walk in pride, he is able to put down. What a sobering thing to consider. Those who walk in pride, he is able to put down, even if you are the king, the most powerful king that existed most likely at that time. I remember my oldest son, Ewan, was a little boy, and I used to read Bible stories to my kids at night. And I remember as a young boy, I asked him, "What do you learn from this story, Ewan?" He thought for a moment and he said, "Be humble or be humbled." And I thought, what an insightful observation. Be humble or be humbled. And, you know, I think that's the word of the Lord to all of us today. Be humble or be humbled. We can humble ourselves or God will humble us. And so I choose the easy option in Jesus' name. Amen. And so let's determine to walk in humility. Let's recognize that as disciples of Christ, none of us know it all. We're all learning. And so if others fall short, let's not be too hard on them, being mindful of the fact that we've only got this far by God's grace and God's grace alone. So be humble or be humbled. This is Pastor John from All Nations Church, thanking you for listening today. Hope you can join us again tomorrow right here on UCB Ireland. God bless you.